Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Voice of the American Redoubt and the John Jacob Schmidt Show here in broadcasting from the Free Zones. I want to welcome all of you, and I hope you had a blessed week this week. It's January. We've got the January thaw and a little teaser of spring this week, followed by getting pummeled with some more snow, but that's okay. It's January in the American Redoubt, and spring is just around the corner, so just keep that in mind. Thank you guys all for tuning in. This is where we want to hopefully shed the light of truth on some of the lies or misinformation. We want to inform you, want to encourage you and inspire you and motivate you to action in the fight to preserve liberty and our heritage. So that includes all of you outside the wire in the occupied zones. And we know you feel like you are truly in occupied territory. We get it. That's why we say it. But be encouraged, because you would be surprised at how many people that feel the same way that you do are on your left and your right, no matter where you are. You're not entirely alone, but hopefully we're a voice of encouragement for you out there. Many of you have been recently, this comes in waves, the emails that I've received from people saying, we're moving, we're on our way, we just sold our home, or we're putting it up for sale, we are headed to the American Redoubt. Now, where do we go? There are numerous places you can go. I often talk about this. The number one destination for people fleeing to the American Redoubt as political refugees, seeking a safe haven and refuge, the number one location is Kootenai County, in North Idaho, followed closely by Bonner County and Boundary Counties to the north, and then also the Palouse region down around Moscow to Lewiston, where James Rawls, in his book Patriots, that whole area was featured there. That's also a very popular area, but it's also not repressed, but the job market is just happens to be in that Kootenai County and Spokane County areas. It's kind of one large area. So as far as, being able to support a family and having access to, the better paying jobs and more, I guess, an abundance of better paying jobs, many actually work in Spokane, live in North Idaho, but the north side of Spokane County and then also Stevens County in Washington are very strongly held territory for patriots. That is definitely patriot country. And then, of course, all the way up to the Canadian border, to Ferry County, Stevens County, Ponderay County. Those are all very strongly conservative. The problem is they still technically fall under Washington state law, and they're still under the rule of Olympia for the time being. But the momentum for the 51st state or Liberty State is growing. I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. I'm going to cram several things in here today for us to talk about. But since I just kind of ended up with Washington. Let me finish my other thought. Moving over from Seattle, from Olympia, Bellevue, Portland, Oregon, wherever. Those folks that are moving to Eastern Washington or Liberty State, they all attest to this feeling of a 10-ton heavy thing lifting off of them as soon as they just get across the Cascades. They start dropping down into Ellensburg, or one of the three passes that takes them from occupied territory where they boast and proudly display statues of Lenin, over to the Free Zones, and where people proudly display Christian flags and Gadsden Don't Tread on Me flags. Totally different. Demographically, the values, the morals, the traditions, the conservative base, totally different. So to them, when they move to Eastern Washington, they feel just, wow, it's so free over here. But really, not really, because those folks, those patriots in Eastern Washington are battling with Olympia on a regular basis with the bureaucracy, the regulation, the taxation. The folks are they're frustrated and they're fed up. So it's very short-lived when you move to Eastern Washington and you feel how free it is. It's only because your neighbors aren't hostile at you because they find out you voted for Trump and they want to kill you. You won't find that so much on the east side of the mountains, but there's still Olympia to contend with. And their failed policies on economic and moral issues, on management, wildlife, and natural resources, and so on. So taxation. So that leaves North Idaho as probably the number one. Then, of course, there's also Kalispell is also a very strong area in the American Redoubt where folks are moving to, in Flathead County. And Bozeman is another one that I've heard from several people that are moving into that area. From there, it just kind of just spreads out. It's kind of evenly peppered throughout the rest of the American Redoubt as far as where people are focused on. Quite a few moving to the Boise area. That is an area that provides a lot of jobs and, you know, a lot more economic growth as well. It's kind of like the Spokane effect, you know, it's a built up area. That's where the jobs are. So that is also accounting for some as well. But definitely North Idaho is the top of the list. So hopefully that answers that question. Now, in Washington this week, there was kind of a little bit of a scare. Representative Matt Shea contacted me saying, hey, oh, I just saw this legislation about disaster areas and emergency communications people responding, requiring them to have a certification. I want to make sure this isn't affecting you. This is not good. Can you take a look at this and see? And I said, well, it doesn't sound good, but let me take a closer look at it. Well, we did. And this is actually Bill 2415. So I want to just shed some light on this. State of Washington, 65th Legislature, House Bill 2415. It basically calls for an act relating to access of broadcasters to a geographic area subject to the declaration of a national, state, or local emergency. And what they want to do is require a certification for what they call first broadcasters, which was kind of a strange term. First informer broadcaster means an individual who has been certified as a first informer broadcaster under this section, who's employed by or acting pursuant to a contract under the direction of a broadcaster, and maintains, including repairing or resupplying transmitters, generators, or other essential equipment at a broadcast station or facility, or provides technical support and so on and so forth. His concern was that this was something being put in place to require a special certification and authorization that could affect amateur radio, ham radio operators. Now, ham radio operators are the backbone of emergency communications in a grid down situation. They often support, civil defense and government functions for emergency response and search and rescue and coordination of different efforts and resources for responding to disasters. And they're privately licensed. Many people in this listening audience and almost just about everyone in Ameron are licensed amateur radio operators who have, many of whom have responded to real world disaster situations. There always seems to be an element among the bureaucrats that want to stifle the ability of licensed and trained and experienced emergency communications personnel to respond in times of a disaster. So naturally, we're very sensitive to that. And those that are strong advocates for us are also sensitive to that. And that's what kind of raised some red flags with Representative Matt Shea and many others when they first saw this bill. But just to shed some light on this, this does not mention amateur radio operators. It does mention technicians and repair and maintenance personnel gaining access to places like repeaters during an emergency to do maintenance on those to give them a certification. Now, in theory, this sounds good. make them, okay, what does it require to become certified? Well, you go through this safety course. You understand the dangers and the risks associated with operating within a disaster area. And that all sounds fine and dandy. But the concern for most of us is that when they're creating more bureaucracy, more red tape, that could stifle the response in an emergency situation. Now, the government just isn't inherently inadequate and expensive and just inefficient during emergencies. We've seen this time and again. What we've seen is the private sector, including the businesses and companies that operate emergency communications, they seem to have their act together more than government entities. But the government entities placing a restriction by saying you can only go into this area if you're certified. And so you're basically limiting the number of emergency communications personnel and support personnel that keep emergency communications going, could potentially prevent them from entering disaster areas to maintain communications and provide communications. Now, the other concern is that how easily Part 97 amateur radio could be added to this bill at the stroke of a pen. Anytime they want to create bureaucracy and special permissions and certifications to be able to enter into a disaster, declared disaster area in response to a disaster, there's problems. And we've seen this time and again. I know with these private communications companies, they don't have a big track record of getting themselves in danger going into an emergency emergency declared area. They're extremely safe. They have top of the line equipment. They carry also with them a totally different mindset, much different than a bureaucrat. Their safety, personal protection, and their efficiency and their professionalism is just hands down a cut above any government entities in the way that there's no reason to force them to have a special certification so you understand the dangers of going into an emergency zone. All that does is create more control and bureaucracy, more checkpoints, papers, please. Oh, you're not authorized, for certain emergency communications workers. There does exist some type of a sentiment among emergency communications, the bureaucrats, if you will, who have this kind of a prima donna, we're special, only those of us highly trained professionals can enter a dangerous area. It really has stifled emergency communications in the past. It is very much an ego-driven, motive for a lot of these things, and that's what Representative Matt Shea is trying to protect the emergency communications personnel from, just having their hands tied by bureaucracy and unnecessary certifications. It just starts a slippery slope. So it's definitely something we want to keep an eye on. But I had some thoughts on that. Several folks have asked questions about that, especially the large number of amateur radio operators in the audience. And so hopefully that clears that up a little bit. Not a big deal at this time, but we do want to keep an eye on it. Now, if you have not been living under a rock, you've probably seen in the news or on Drudge Report or on social media, it's circulating right now, that the liberal leftists, their hair is bursting into flames and on fire right now over Trump's statements in a White House meeting that he had with some congressional staff, asking why are we allowing all of these refugees to come swarming into the United States from these SHT hole places. And of course, CNN makes sure that they repeat that over and 36 times. They want to keep saying, he's a racist. He's a Nazi. He hates people with dark skin, so on and so forth. But really, he's saying it has nothing to do with the color of their skin. It is a cultural issue. And what we see is these immigrants that are coming from these underdeveloped areas immediately go on to welfare. They're placed into government housing where the living conditions quickly, rapidly deteriorate. And it is not a skin color issue. There are dark colored people that are living prosperously in the United States. It is a mentality. And immediately they throw them into the slave market where they are really in bondage to the government. They are enslaved by them, immediately thrown on this IV of food, money, medical care, and where they just sit permanently. It is not contributing to the prosperity of our nation as far as trades and skills and economic vitality. And he's concerned about this, as many other people are. But this is what they were waiting for. The United Nations is in shock over these statements. But it's interesting, too, where back in 1965, Ted Kennedy was saying that the bill, the 1965 immigration bill, saying that it will not inundate America with immigrants from deprived nations or of Africa and Asia. Precisely what President Trump said in this meeting. We'll take us back to 1965, 53 years ago, almost. He says, first, our cities will not be flooded with 1 million immigrants annually. Under the proposed bill, the present level of immigration remains substantially the same. Now, this was a leftist senator, Ted Kennedy, back in 1965, trying to sell the American people on why we should open up the floodgates of immigration, telling us it's not going to be 1 million immigrants coming into your cities every year. The ethnic mix of this country will not be upset. This is him saying, contrary to the charges in some quarters, the bill will not inundate America with immigrants from any one country or area, the most populated and deprived nations of Africa or Asia. In the final analysis, the ethnic pattern of immigrants under the proposed measure is not expected to change as sharply as the critics seem to think. Well, he's actually inaccurate. This article over here at Breitbart points out exactly what's happened over the last 50 years. 50 years later, the Census Bureau predicts that the foreign-born population is set to increase 85% by 2060. That's 40 years from now. That's when your children will start to have grandchildren. And the foreign-born population in America will have increased by 85%. And you don't think that's going to have an impact? It's not about their color. It's about when they say ethnicity, it's not because of the color of their skin. It is because of the culture that is going to overtake American culture, our traditional American values and ideals. And largely that is Islam, which is a direct threat to Americanism. But that is the trend that has begun. And I'll tell you what, Trump has done, continuing on with the list, besides tax reform, dealing with the climate issue, President Trump last month removed climate change from the global threats list in his national security strategy. I don't know why he waited so long, but he did. So regulatory reform, immigration, states' rights, he has nailed it on all of these things. And I stand behind him. I tell you what, he is like the Winston Churchill of our time. The man that was just born for this moment right here. He is the man, the only person that I'm aware of that was that has the sand to implement the changes that need to be changed, to just fearlessly attack the issues that are attacking our country, and implementing counterstrikes against the things that are just killing America with the death of 1,000 cuts. And he's responding to these things fearlessly. And so I applaud him. I'm so thankful for this temporary reprieve that we have with him in office. So there's a lot of work to be done because a fight is coming. A fight is coming. There's no two ways about it. This segment has been sponsored by Works LLC, Works Holsters, made right here in the American Redoubt with a lifetime guarantee on all their stuff. Go to works.com. That's W-E-R-K-Z, as in Zulu, .com. We'll be right back. This is the voice of the American Redoubt.
The voice of the American Redoubt. Radio. Free. Redoubt.
I've often heard atheists and so-called progressives argue that the founders weren't Christians and that this was never a Christian nation. They like to say that men like Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson were deists. Well, so what if they were deists? Being a deist simply means that God doesn't interfere with the affairs of men. But after seeing God's hand in the making of their newly won nation, they gave God full credit. In a letter to William Strahan in 1784, Benjamin Franklin said this, "My dear friend, do not imagine that I am vain enough to ascribe our success," he was speaking about the revolution, "to any superiority on their part. If it had not been for the justice of our cause and the consequent interposition of Providence in which we had faith, we must have been ruined. If I had ever before been an atheist, I should now have been convinced of the being and government of a deity." And Thomas Jefferson wrote this, "Of all the systems of morality, ancient or modern, which have come under my observation, none appears to me so pure as that of Jesus. I am a real Christian, that is to say, a disciple of the doctrines of Jesus." Don't believe the lies of the revisionist historians. They'll deceive you every time if you don't know the truth. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Hey everyone, this is Glenn Tate checking in from Occupied Territory, wishing I was in the American Redoubt right now. You're tuned in to the voice of the American Redoubt.
And we are back at Radio Free Redoubt, broadcasting from the Free Zones from an undisclosed location. We are in Studio A this week and fighting the snow, like all of you guys out there plowing snow. It's good stuff, huh? I know that the snow machines out there, the snowmobilers, are loving it. It's one of the nice things about the motorcycle of the Rockies, the motorcycle, the Rocky Mountain motorcycle. It's a snowmobile. Maybe one day I'll have one, but I know you guys are having a blast out there. Just be safe. A lot of avalanche warnings across the American Redoubt right now. Several reports of snowmobilers being lost. Search and rescue efforts are underway to recover snowmobilers caught in avalanches in various different places, and that's deadly stuff. So just know the risks, accept the risk, just be careful and mitigate the risks. All right, this segment is brought to you by Riverfront Suites. Beautiful St. Joe River in the sleepy little town of St. Mary's, Idaho. You need a place to get away, a place to lay your head, a place to have a roof over your head while you're looking for property in the American Redoubt. Don't forget to check out Riverfront Suites and go to riverfrontsuites.com for more. All right. As you guys know, there is an event coming up. We've been talking about this. We're going to keep talking about it, but we're going to be talking about Liberty State, the 51st state, hopefully. But that there's going to be a big rally next Saturday, January 20th at 3 p.m. That's going to be up in Colville at the Ag Center. This is the first of multiple events that are going to be taking place this year. But we will be there. I know a lot of people are planning on being there. It's a really great response. And we are going to film this for those of you outside the area that want to learn more about this. Representative Matt Shea is going to be going down item by item, all the selling points, the reasons, the impetus for the 51st state, for Liberty State. And so we're going to be bringing a lot more stuff to you, but that is going to be one you don't want to miss. If you are in the area, try to make it. And it's also a fundraiser. So they're going to have a dessert auction and several other things are auctioning off, but they're trying to raise funds right now for the printing of flags, the next run of flags. So we can start seeing these flags flying across Liberty on on in front of houses, on cars, bumper stickers. All this stuff is in the works. It all takes money. The momentum's really growing. So you can also learn more by going to libertystate.org. Really exciting there. Now, we need to know about our heritage. We need to understand where we came from. You cannot preserve something if you don't know what it's supposed to look like in the first place. And we've lost sight of that. So there's some resources I want to point you to before I cover this, something really important. Something that we're up against, and that is the communist revolutionaries. They're organizing. This is not some fantasy Red Dawn type of communism is dead. It's something that, you know, us conservatives are still clinging on to, you know, try to justify ourselves and our conservative patriot actions. It's very real. I'm going to talk about that. But there's a few resources I want to point you to. I've talked about wall builders a lot. There is what's called the American Heritage Series. It's a 10-DVD set by David Barton that goes into our Constitution, into American heritage. We have to relearn this, people. We have to. We must. If you go to the highlights and resources posting for this show, the Radio Free Redoubt on KTW, if you go to radiofreeredoubt.com, you'll see the highlights and resources for the show that we, every show that we talk about. We list those resources and there are clickable links and the stories and everything else we talk about are listed in a highlights and resources posting for that week. And we're going to put a link to the American Heritage Series. It's a 10-DVD set produced by David Barton from Wall Builders. Strongly recommend that. Another one is the Institute on the Constitution. This is a difficult one to find. I found it on, I own the DVD version of it, but it's hard to find. You usually find it in like a VHF set, a VHS rather. It's interesting, but if you can find a DVD set, we're going to provide a link for an Amazon link to the VHS version of that. But it's the Institute on the Constitution, a study on Christianity and the law of the land with John Eidsmo. And the other one, this is super awesome, and it's Hillsdale College. They have free online courses about the Constitution and our heritage. They're free. Hillsdale College. And so that's at hillsdale.edu. We'll also post those links. Anyway, I ran out of time to talk about the communist revolutionaries and some of the things they're planning, but I'm going to talk about that tomorrow night. So join us at radiofreeredoubt.com, 8 p.m. for our weekly podcast, and we'll see you there. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. God bless. Have a great weekend. My name is your name, too.